We conclude our retreat on the letter to the Colossians with this final presentation on the letter, the personal letter to Philemon, which went along with the letter to the Colossians. It's Paul's shortest letter. It's a personal letter written to a man called Philemon about his slave Onesimus. They both appear to be members of the Christian community in Colossae. It's a beautifully composed letter, filled with respect and love. It reveals Paul's deeply affectionate nature. The loving way in which he appeals to Philemon in a matter of great delicacy, but also of great importance, gives us a privileged insight into Paul's wisdom and into the way in which he lives the gospel which he preaches. Onesimus is a slave in the household of Philemon. For reasons which are not explained, he absconded from Colossae and made contact with Paul. It may be that he heard of Paul from his Christian master and came searching for him, hoping that he would mediate with Philemon to better Onesimus' situation. Such a practice was not uncommon, in which case he may have intended to return to Philemon all along, rather than face the severe punishment of the law against runaway slaves. On the other hand, he may have been chancing his fortune, and his meeting with Paul may have been unplanned. In any case, having met Paul, he has become a Christian, and Paul has persuaded him, if such persuasion was necessary, to return to his master with the letter which we have before us. On the subject of slavery, Paul writes, I'm quoting from Galatians 3:28, "There's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male and female, all of you are one in the Messiah Jesus." And we might also look again at the commentary on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul writes, "Were you a slave when called? Well, don't be concerned about it. However, if you can gain your freedom, well, take the opportunity. For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed person belonging to the Lord, just as whoever was free when called is a slave of the Messiah." Domestic slavery was part of the social fabric of the day. Some slaves were prisoners of war, others were kidnapped, still others were enslaved through debt. We'll miss the point of this brief personal letter if we expect it to include Paul's thinking on the subject of slavery as an institution. However, we'll also miss the point if we fail to see that what Paul writes here is a radical challenge to the master-slave relationship. An interesting suggestion has been made as to why such a brief personal letter was preserved. We know that a man named Onesimus was a bishop in Ephesus in the opening years of the 2nd century. Find that in Ignatius of Antioch, his letter to the Ephesians. It's likely that Paul's letters were gathered into a book at this time for wider distribution. If Onesimus was the person responsible for this, and if he is the Onesimus of Paul's letter to Philemon, this would explain the inclusion of this personal letter. So let me read the first five verses. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, and to Apphia, our sister. Brackets. Could Apphia be Philemon's wife? It's quite possible. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith towards the Lord Jesus. Now he goes on in verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. Addressing Philemon as my brother, Paul assures him of the joy which he experiences from Philemon's love and the encouragement it gives Paul to see Philemon so beautifully refreshing the hearts of the Christian community in Colossae. And now, verse 8. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I'd rather appeal to you on the basis of love. Appeal, parakaleo, is always used when Paul exhorts people to behaviour. And the parakaleo reminds us, kaleo means call. Parakaleo is Paul's actually a mediator. The call is actually coming from Jesus through Paul. So there's a lot in that word appeal. I'd rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, a presbytes. So here we are, probably in the year 54. An old man is a man in his 50s. So I'm appealing to you, I, Paul, to do this as an old man, and now also as the prisoner of the Messiah Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Father, of course, in the faith. Formerly, he was useless to you. There's a pun here on the word. The name Onesimus means useful. And so Paul plays with that word. He says, he was useless to you before, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I'm sending him, that is, I'm sending my own heart back to you. How beautiful is that? I wanted to keep Onesimus with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent. in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh, that is, in ordinary everyday life, and in the Lord. Onesimus is a slave, and he's found the only true freedom, according to Paul, that ultimately counts, the freedom that comes through faith in Jesus. The challenge that Paul is gently putting to Philemon is he, Philemon, free enough to respond in love to grace? And Paul goes on, so if you consider me your partner, koinonos, the one who's in communion with you, please welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's wronged you in any way, if he owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Messiah. Confident of your obedience, I'm writing to you, knowing you'll do even more than I say. Just a small comment. The Christian community was a small group in no position to bring pressure to bear on society to get rid of slavery. Paul doesn't indulge in a moral or political discourse. Rather, he approaches Philemon as a brother in Christ. If society listened to Paul's words, people would see how wrong slavery is. And Paul concludes this brief little one-page letter. One thing more. Would you prepare a guest room for me? I'm hoping, through your prayers, to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greeting to you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. And that group is also mentioned in the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And Paul concludes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Just a few tiny comments on these. It's interesting to get the names of, and there would be many more, the people who are helping Paul or carrying out their mission. We know from the Acts that Aristarchus was from Thessalonica. That's in Acts 20, verse 4. He was in Ephesus with Paul, and he was caught up in the riot that ensued when the populace turned against Paul and his companions. That's all in Acts. Luke tells us that after Paul left Ephesus, Aristarchus was among those who accompanied Paul from Corinth to Jerusalem and was with him in Caesarea and travelled with him to Rome. The fact that Mark and Luke are both with Paul in Ephesus is interesting when we think about the gospel, the dependence of one upon the other. Probably Luke on Mark, who captures the movement of Marx, the plot of Mark's gospel. And then Luke, the historian, adds a lot of sayings of Jesus that he's picked up in his journey. So the two of them are there, swapping notes, sharing insights with Paul in Ephesus in the middle of the 50s. The Gospel of Mark was another 10 years later, and Luke a little bit even more. So that concludes, as best I'm able, our reflections on this, I think, most beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful letter of Paul to a community that he'd never visited, didn't know. He knew some members of it, but he'd never been there. He wasn't the missionary that opened the church up in Colossae. But he's full of love for them, and his advice, trying to help them, support them, as they resist this kind of pre-Gnostic ideas that were going around at the time, in danger of taking the attention of the community away from Jesus and getting them caught up in pseudo-philosophies that have nothing to do with their faith. As Paul has said, all that matters is faith showing itself in love.